Our gospel lesson today is from Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. So the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So do any of you remember the tsunami that hit Southeast Asia on December 26, 2004? In 2012, a movie came out about that disaster. The movie is called The Impossible, and the title is fitting. It is the story of Maria Bellone, her husband, and their three young sons, who were enjoying a beachside vacation in Thailand that day. The boys were playing with their father in the resort pool when a strange roar came, and then a 30-foot wall of water washed away the entire resort, taking the family under and into this nightmarish journey of survival and reunion. Over 200,000 people in 11 countries died from the tsunami that day. Somehow they survived. Maria and her 10-year-old son Lucas were together, and the father was with the younger ones, Thomas and Simon. But neither Maria nor her husband believed that the other family members had survived. She was badly injured after spending several minutes submerged in water and carried along the current with dangerous debris. The movie chronicles what it took for this family to survive and all the twists and turns it took for the father to finally get the whole family reunited. Because the film is so realistic and it's all true, it's one of the most scary and inspiring movies I've ever seen, but definitely not for the faint of heart. But the best part of the film for me was reading about its creation and the way the actors befriended the real family to make the film true to life. Listen to what Maria said about her ordeal. She said, "I learned what real generosity was through this tsunami. People who didn't know me spent hours looking for my family. Before, I was always afraid of things. The tsunami was an incredible gift. I embrace life. My whole life is extra time." Think about that. Before, I was always afraid. The tsunami was a gift. Wow. The impossible situation she calls a gift. Have you ever found that to be true in your life? Ever had an impossible situation that became a gift? Have you ever had blessings wrapped in suffering and hardship? I thought of that movie and her words as I reread this Annunciation story of Mary. And I wondered, what did Mary say about her experience as she looked back later? What did she say about being chosen to give birth in such a scandalous way, out of wedlock, with a wild story about conception by the Holy Spirit? What did she say about having to give birth among animals in the manger, away from home, in Bethlehem? What did she say as she looked back over her life, especially after the death of her firstborn son on the cross? Would she say that the whole impossible situation was a gift? I think she would. But then again, aren't some of our blessings wrapped up in impossible situations? Think about Mary's whole situation. The road she was being asked to take was no walk in the park. When the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you," she does not say, "That's fantastic." The Bible says she was perplexed and pondered what sort of greeting this was. In other words, she was thinking, "What's going on here?" Then the angel says to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God," which means Mary was afraid. Then Gabriel proceeds to tell her that she's going to give birth to a son, name him Jesus, and he will be called Son of God. Now talk about feeling overwhelmed. Just imagine what was going on in her head. Imagine her feelings, her fear, her desire to wake up from this weird dream. It wasn't lost on her that this great news from God was wrapped up in a life-changing, scandalous, and scary road ahead for her. We've heard the story so many times, we've lost the shock of it all. This is great news when we read it, but imagine how it was interpreted by her, a poor, young, unwed teenager. How can this be, since I'm a virgin? What will I tell my parents? What is Joseph going to say? How quickly will he disown me? Talk about an impossible situation. She basically learns that this great announcement means the end of her life as she knows it. That's why I think it takes her a while to welcome the announcement. It's only after the angel explains how it is going to happen, only after Gabriel tells her about Elizabeth's pregnancy, only after he says nothing will be impossible, only then does she accept the news and say, "Here am I. Let it be with me according to your word." Have you ever noticed that some of your blessings are wrapped up in the impossible situations of your life? When in your life have you been blessed by the very thing you thought was impossible? Fanny Crosby was an American hymn writer. She wrote over 8,000 hymns. Some of her most famous ones include "Blessed Assurance" and "Safe in the Arms of Jesus." Yet she was blind. She went blind as an infant. She never learned Braille, although she attended a special school for the blind in New York and went on to teach there. Her lack of sight seemed to enhance her other senses, and it certainly enhanced her poetry and hymn writing. The devotional "Streams in the Desert" on December 9th says this about her: "Joy sometimes needs pain to give it birth." She could have never written the beautiful words, "I shall see him face to face," if not for the fact that she had never gazed upon green fields, evening sunsets, or the twinkle of her mother's eye. The loss of her vision helped her gain remarkable spiritual discernment and insight. Has that ever been true for you? Impossible situations and hardship giving birth to joy? To new possibilities? It seems to be that way for many of our ancestors in the faith. Moses' hardship in Egypt meant God used him to save the people. Joseph's enslavement and imprisonment meant God used him to save his own family and the people from famine. Paul's hardships led to such blessings that we're still talking about them today. And Mary, the hardships she faced as the mother of Jesus are easily forgotten, but what seemed impossible to her revealed the possibility of salvation for all of us. After Jesus' birth, his parents took him to be dedicated in the temple, and there a man named Simeon blessed Jesus and then said this to Mary: "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." How wise he was. For Mary would one day stand beneath the cross that took his life. What swords have pierced your soul? What pain has brought you blessing? I think we have a lot to learn from Mary. Although the Roman Catholic Church has long venerated Mary as the mother of Jesus, the mother of God, and the Eastern Orthodox Church has also venerated her as Theotokos, the God-bearer, Protestants like us have often ignored Mary. Well, what if we haven't given her enough attention? Because the truth is, isn't she a prophet? Called like other prophets like Isaiah or Ezekiel? Isn't she a leader like Moses? Isn't she the mother of Jesus, our Savior? And I wonder, isn't Mary really the first disciple of her son, Jesus? Her entire life is changed by his birth. She devotes her entire life to him, from his birth to death. And isn't she an example for us? Because doesn't God call each and every one of us to do some hard things? Some seemingly impossible things? What do you do when faced with the impossible? And what impossible situations are facing you right now? When have you needed to hear the words of Gabriel in Luke 1:37? For nothing will be impossible with God. Over the years, I have written down some seemingly impossible prayer requests and stuck them on little pieces of paper in one of my Bibles. Some of them have been answered in ways I could have never, ever have imagined. But others are still in progress. One of them I saw this week, and I've been asking for this prayer to be answered for over 10 years. It seems impossible. But then we have God's word and God's promise, for nothing will be impossible with God. So we can keep on believing, right? What seems impossible in your life today? When my dad had a massive heart attack in 2007 and spent months in ICU, we were told on more than one occasion that he had no hope of survival. It seemed impossible day after day, week after week, but he did survive and live to see 8 grandkids grow up. And his illness brought all my siblings closer than we had ever been before. All 5 of us have a connection that is still strong today. That impossible situation brought new possibilities in our family. Mary's story is so powerful because it's really our story, isn't it? We all have our lives interrupted at one time or another with something that seems impossible, and we are asked to trust and obey, hanging on to God's promise that nothing will be impossible with God. It reminds me of Romans 8:18, where it says, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." Or Romans 5:3, when Paul reminds us that we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. What if the challenges we face, the impossibilities, what if they can ultimately lead to hope and even joy? And what if God wants to do miracles in our lives today? What if God wants to show us that nothing will be impossible with God? Theologian A.W. Tozer once said, "Anything God has ever done, he can do now. Anything God has ever done anywhere, he can do here. Anything God has ever done for anyone, he can do for you." I believe that, my friends. Do you? Isn't that the good news of our gospel today? That nothing will be impossible with God? May we embrace that promise and hold on to it with everything inside of us. And for that, all God's people can say together, Amen.